Welcome to the 61st episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. I am getting ready for the first annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference here in Port Charlotte, Florida, or Punta Gorda, Florida, which is kind of just separated by a little bridge. It's going to be held at the Isles Yacht Club in Punta Gorda on January 20th. It'll begin at 8 o'clock in the morning with a whole food plant-based breakfast, and there'll be guest lectures. The superstar of the day will be Caldwell Esselstyn, and then his wife Ann will speak. Evelise Capo, who is a PharmD, will do a cooking demonstration. Dustin Rudolph, who's a PharmD, will do a lecture on reversing diabetes with a plant-based nutrition. He wrote Empty Medicine Cabinet. I will have a panel discussion. I'll also be speaking on the pitfalls and how to get yourself transitioned into a plant-based diet. So it should be a great day. There'll be a plant-based lunch as well. So please come and join us. You can get your tickets at eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com. And it's under there, it's first annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. Now the tickets are $148 and change after the taxes and everything. So I hope you come and join us. The ticket sales close next Tuesday night, so get them while they last. We have plenty of spaces available for the most part. So getting on with the show, today's going to be a little different, a little twist from nutrition, more into exercise. Because if you look at Dean Ornish and some of his work with reversing heart disease and reversing disease, exercise certainly plays a role. Movement, so to speak, plays a role, as well as having your head screwed on straight, so to speak, and having some family supporters or having friend supports and having good mental attitude. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about exercise, how it relates to overall health. My guest today will be Chris Crowley, who wrote Younger Next Year for Younger Next Year and then Younger Next Year for Women. And he just Dr. Henry Lodge just now came out with Younger Next Year Exercise Program, which is a little primer book on exercise to stay fit. And it's kind of funny, I found his book several years ago, and it was pretty timely. I'm not sure how I happened upon some of these books, but I often had thought over the years, you know, going to the gym, you go to the gym, you lift weights, you get sore, you know, you do some sort of exercise program, and how long do you do this? You know, is there some point in your life where you say, okay, I've achieved the fitness that I need to achieve for the rest of my life and I can just kind of ride it out? And my muscles going to be in shape enough that I don't have to worry about exercising anymore? And if any of you do any kind of exercise on a regular basis, you'll know that if you miss 2 or 3 days, you lose fitness. You lose cardiovascular fitness starting about after 3 days. You know, if you've not exercised for a couple of weeks, you can get kind of back to square one. And it's kind of demoralizing to the fact that, you know, a lot of us endurance athletes that do marathons, you know, you do one and you really don't want to stop because you don't want to have to go through that retraining phase. But, you know, when you do exercise, there's always injuries now and then, and you have to stop or change exercises so that when you go back into the main one or one you like, you have to revamp your fitness. And if you lift weights and you haven't lifted weights for a while and you lift weights, then you're sore and you wonder, geez, do I have to, you know, when will I get to the point where I'm not really sore after I'm doing it? And if I don't get sore, is that okay too? You know, am I making any progress? So Chris Crowley, his book is wonderful. It's humorous. And he's going to go into that a little bit. And you'll get some of his personality just hearing him speak. So I encourage you to get his book because it is entertaining. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about more why you have to continue to exercise throughout your life if you want to maintain your muscles and maintain your health. So on that note, I just did a half iron distance triathlon last Saturday. I was very happy to actually just complete it. And I did pretty good, more than just completed. I did end up with 6th in my age group, which is not as good as I've done in the past, but considering I came off of a pretty bad ankle injury, I was happy to be able to get the run in and do well. After my little feat of marathon, Ironman marathon, I got a little tendonitis in my ankle. And so I had to lay off running and swimming for the most part until around Christmas time I started, you know, easing back into the run. And again, it was very frustrating. I lost speed, lost endurance. It hurt to start to run. I wasn't swimming because that kind of made my ankle and my lower leg muscles cramp up. So, you know, I went into it a little bit as a long training day for me rather than to actually race it. But I had a good swim. Maybe got a little bit, you know, offline, and the swim might have been a little bit longer than I would have liked it. But again, for not having been in the pool or been swimming more than once or twice since October, I was happy. My bike went well because I had been biking, mainly on a trainer, but I had been biking. And the run, you know, I got the 13 miles in, even though I hadn't only run 8 miles before that for several months. So it was all good, and I was glad to complete it. And the crazy thing about it is my ankle never felt better after I completed it. So, I mean, I really struggled at the end. The last 3 miles were hot, and I was tired, and my muscles were sore. And, you know, obviously I hadn't trained enough for the 13-mile run. But I wasn't too bad the next day, and, you know, my ankle mobility is better than it was, and I've been running every day this week, so I'm really happy about that. I do think that it comes back to nutrition as far as recovery. The night before, we were, I was really excited. I actually found a vegan restaurant in Naples, Florida called the Cider Press. And it was mainly raw food, vegan, no oil. And so I had some... it's called Three Amigos, some vegan raw tacos, and a salad. So that was really good pre-race food for me. I raced on my usual, my morning of. I usually eat a Bonk bar, and, you know, I had a banana. And then, you know, I race on, again, I have a Bonk bar during the race. Cliff makes a product, which is kind of like the baby food in the squeeze thing. So it was beaten banana. I had one of those. I had some sports drink and then some gels on the run and some orange slices. Orange slices tend to do good for me as far as maintaining hydration and potassium. So not bad for being, you know, a race. So some simple sugars, which is you need, but not all terrible nutrition. And then afterwards, you know, went and refueled with a vegetable sandwich and made a burrito that night. So, you know, I think vegan plant-based whole foods nutrition does a lot. Got some rice in that night, got some beans in for protein. I think it does a whole lot for recovery. Hydration is very important. You know, I pounded down the water the rest of the day, pounded down some green tea. So I think that, you know, does a whole lot to help speed and recovery. So, you know, I would encourage, you know, it's sad when the race was finished. I think all they had at the race table, they had some chips, they had some pretzels, and they had pizza, and they had some bagels, you know. So, I mean, it really wasn't good food to nourish yourself after, you know, having been out in the sun and, you know, been eating simple sugars all day. So it's kind of sad that that's kind of all we can come up with for post-race food. But, oh, well, what you're going to do. And that's pretty standard for any triathlon as far as the post-race food. This event was a HITS, H-I-T-S event. You know, not bad. Some things they could have done better, things they could have done worse. But it was in Naples, Florida, so it was... you know, a nice venue, and luckily it was warm last Saturday. We've had some cool weather turn in, so I was kind of glad that the race was last Saturday, and it was, I'd rather race warm than cold. So as most of you know, I have a nutrition class in my office. People from my practice as well as outside people can come to a 6-session course. They're an hour long each, and we go through the science of why plant-based nutrition is healthy, and go each each session builds on how-to and menu planning. I cook, I do food demonstrations, and we actually go grocery shopping, and then we deal with how to interact with family and spouses and going out as part of plant-based nutrition. So we just finished the technically the third class. The second class, we had a guest speaker, Dr. Brooke Goldner, in town. So this is our second class. So this particular class, I made a kale salad with a pomegranate and a little avocado. Then I made a carrot potato Thai soup, and I made that in my Instapot, and that went over well. I've had some emails around, I get home late and I don't know what to cook, so I eat poorly. And what do I do? And I think sometimes with this plant-based, transitioning into plant-based cooking, people try to make it too complicated. And they look online and they see recipes, and the recipes really look good, but they have a lot of ingredients that they don't necessarily have at home, and they don't want to try to start and learn to make something that they've never made before at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and everybody's hungry and everybody's waiting, and the possibility of failing at the recipe, and so forth. So, I encourage people to, if you're going to try a new recipe and you're new to cooking or you're new to plant-based nutrition, try this new things or the complicated things on the weekend when you have time to play and enjoy it. Because cooking should be relaxing and joyful. Learning to put things together and tasting and taking time and even, presenting it nice. But during the week, especially if you work and you come in and you have kids or you have sporting events to attend or, people are getting in different times and it's late, you just need to get food on the table. So it can still be very nutritious, but simple. It takes, and again, I always tell my patients and I tell my class, during the week, I usually can get food on the table in about 30 minutes. And that's whether I, put it in the Instapot or I do it on top of the stove. But, one simple meal is, steaming some greens. So we really like Swiss chard. And that's very easy just to put in the skillet with a little bit of water and garlic and pepper and steam that down really quick. Then add some beans to that and sweet potato. And, you can do the sweet potato in your toaster oven. You can do the sweet potato in the Instapot. You can boil the sweet potatoes. And actually, boiled sweet potatoes have the most nutrients available, even versus baked sweet potato. So, it doesn't take very long to boil some potatoes if you're in a hurry. Or you can bake them, and that's about a 45-minute process. The same thing goes, with a bunch of vegetables. Asparagus, put a little lemon and pepper and put them on parchment paper and put them in the oven for 30 minutes. And do a baked potato and do a big salad and do some pinto beans. Those are very simple meals. And then if you have an Instapot, you put all the ingredients. I made the carrot potato soup in 30 minutes on the stove or in the Instapot right in front of my class. You cut up the vegetables and put some celery and some garlic and little miso, about a tablespoon, and covered it with water. And about 30 minutes later, everything was cooked down. I used an immersion blender to thin it out. I added about a half a can of coconut milk and some curry paste and let that simmer for a little bit. And voila, you had carrot ginger potato soup. And you can do variations on that. And you certainly do regular potato soup and then just add spinach at the end. So, soups are really quick to get on the table. And you can do a sandwich with Ezekiel bread and tomato and cucumber and kale. You can put hummus on there. So there's a lot of things you can do quick during the week and save those complicated things during the, for the evening. Corn on the cob's okay, and the baked potato and, some beans. It just doesn't have to be that complicated. Even a portobello mushroom sandwich. So, don't think too far out of the box during the week and save the fancy meals for the week, for the weekend, and you'll be a lot happier and easier, and it's much easier, and you stay away from the processed foods that tend to have a bunch of oil in them. People that aren't losing weight almost invariably are eating a lot of pasta, or they're eating a lot of oils in prepared foods. So whether it's prepared spaghetti sauces or other sauces, or bean burgers that have a bunch, prepared bean burgers or frozen dinners that are vegan that have a bunch of oil in them, they tend to, you know, get a lot of oil that way, or they're putting oil on to try to roast your vegetables. You really don't have to do that. You just need to get them, you know, a little bit wet and seasoned. So, you know, don't be afraid to do that. Tofu is another thing that we really like during the week. Do a little quick stir fry with rice and, you know, cut the tofu and, you know, dip it in maybe almond milk and coconut and bake it for a little bit, or just dip it in a little bit of ginger in a miso dressing and, you know, just put it on in a nonstick skillet and then add it to your stir fry. And again, it's really, really tasty. So don't be too awful afraid to, you know, do something quick and worry about the, you know, fancy stuff for the weekend. At least that's what I do. So I think without further ado, I'm going to take you over to the interview with Chris Crowley, and then we'll pick up afterwards. So enjoy. Welcome, Mr. Chris Crowley. Mr. Crowley is an attorney. He's also an author of one of the multiple best-selling books, but the one that caught my eye several years ago was Younger Next Year, and then there's also Younger Next Year for Women. And what kind of caught my eye in this book, one, I listened to the audiobook the first time, and it was absolutely fantastic. But I often thought about, well, when will I be cured of, and I'll be physically fit, and all my muscles will be good, and I can stop this exercise routine? And the answer that Mr. Crowley demonstrated so well in his book is, the answer is never, if you want to live, until you die, and hopefully you'll die well. So welcome, Mr. Crowley.
How are you? Glad to be here. But I tell my people, I go out and give a lot of lectures all over the country. I'm doing it right now. But I tell people, hey, listen, you got to work out 6 days a week pretty hard for you. 6 days a week for the rest of your life till the day you die. That day you get to take off. You do whatever you want.
And you know, and that's fantastic. You know, one of the things, well, I have to say, my very favorite part, and you do the audiobook, so it's your voice. And my favorite part was when you went to the gym. So I want you to tell us about your story a little bit. But the day you went to the spinning class, and you thought you were in pretty good shape, and they said stand up and sit down. I mean, you had me roaring in the car.
Oh, you good guy. I appreciate it. Some of my favorite things. Harry and I wrote this book a while ago, Harry Lodge. He's the brains of the outfit. He's a practicing internist and a full professor at Columbia Medical School. Anyhow, we wrote this a while ago. We had to figure out, you know, exactly how many days we had to tell him to work out. And we said, well, Harry says, 6 days, forever. Oh, boy. Well, I've been working out three, so I figured, what am I going to do? I like to bicycle. I'd heard about spin class. I went to spin class. I thought I was in good shape. I thought I was going to die. It was tough, man. It was tough. I will try to repeat the language. The story's kind of funny. I appreciate you like it. I use it a lot. But it's very interesting. I was a hooked dog by the end of that thing. I kept on doing it. But here's the interesting thing about that. If you do aerobic exercise, okay, I said that when I did that spin class the first time, I was a hooked dog. But the interesting thing about aerobic exercise is if you do it, you rebuild your aerobic base. I do spin classes all the time these days. I mean, all the time. And I feel great afterwards. It's, you can rebuild your aerobic base just by putting in time doing aerobic exercise. It's amazing.
The other thing, you know, that I think is really spells it out in your book is your slippery slope.
Yeah.
You know, so you can either, you know, gradually decline, or you can just live well and then die. But so when you went to see your internist that day, you thought you were in pretty good shape, right? I mean, you didn't think there was anything.
Oh, yeah. I was the kind of guy I was in better shape than most of the people who walk in this door. I was working out a couple of days a week, which isn't so terrible, but, you know, compared to what I should have been doing, I was pathetic. And it's very interesting. The basic notion, I didn't get this from Harry, actually. I found it from a a PhD out here in Colorado where I lived at the time. The basic notion of the book is that in the normal course, normal American aging is a slow, steady decline from 50 to the day you die, every year a little slower, more pain rack, less amusing, less fun, blah, 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 no good. Do some stuff, do some demanding stuff, but doable. You can square that curve. You can be about the same woman or man you were at 50 till you're 80 and beyond. How far beyond, I'll let you know, but 80 is doable. And that's a huge difference, worth a lot of trouble.
And I suspect you don't take much in the way of medication.
No, I do not. I do not. No, I don't need to, thank heavens. The day may come, but not yet.
And you were skiing today when we started this phone call. You had just finished your skiing. And how many days a week do you ski typically?
Oh, gosh, when I'm out here, I ski 4 days a week, say five. But I'm just passing through now. I mean, we're busy doing other stuff. But I'm sneaking in. We're out here doing a webinar and some other promotional stuff. And I'm grabbing a quick 6 days on here. And we'll be back. Most years we ski 6 weeks. I'm retired, so, you know, it's fair. But I ski a lot. I love it. And I'm 117 years old, but I still do it all the time. I still do it reasonably well. I'm still doing the black diamond. Not as fast as maybe sometimes, but not bad. You know, I love it? Oh, boy.
Fantastic. I get in my office. I can't lose weight because I'm not exercising. And I always, you know, my first comeback is, well, I train for marathons and I don't necessarily have to lose weight. I can eat right through them. And it's like you can outspend your money, so you can overeat the calories, you know?
Yeah, you can. If you want to lose weight, and that's not what we're not in that business, but it makes it, I think that the great key to weight control is serious exercise. You have to do other stuff too, but the exercise helps a lot. It changes who you are, changes your view of yourself, all kinds of things. And it has everything to do with keeping it off once you get there. But, you know, far better in general to be a healthy, slightly overweight person than to be a skinny, out of shape person.
And your tenets: exercise, nutrition, and commitment. And the commitment, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting. We have three brains, I learned from Harry. There's the original one, the one that regulates all movement, and everybody's got it. It's the reptilian brain. Does a lot of wonderful stuff, but it has a bad name. Then along come mammals. Then we get the limbic brain, which is the middle one. And all it does is send and receive emotions. Then when we came along, we got the thinking brain, the human brain. That's the big one that makes us different from everybody else. And we think that's the only one. But the big news is that we are profoundly emotional creatures, and a lot of our decisions and a lot of our happiness has everything to do with the quality of our limbic or emotional lives. Very important stuff. I talk about it a lot because people just don't get it, especially men, especially older men. The risk of isolation and sickness and sadness and death, very darn high, and people just don't understand that. So, you know, it's a big deal. It's a three-legged stool. You got to exercise like crazy. You ought to quit eating garbage. You ought to be connected and committed to other people.
Yeah, it's not different from, you know, Dean Ornish, who, you know, as far as his cardiovascular reversal, you know, being having a good emotional health, being connected is very important. And not unlike the blue zones where, you know, the Oakland, people that live to be 100, they're typically people that are connected.
Very important. I think Dean Ornish is such a star. I think that, you know, he talks about stuff that most people don't talk about. These audiences that I talk to, they love it when you get into it. They, oh, gee, I guess I know that. And, well, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but it's very important. I think exercise is the great flywheel of the good life. I think that's more important than anything, but it's silly to rank them because they all make such a huge difference.
What led you to write the first book, you know, in this series?
I wanted to write. I was kind of good at it. I'm 12 years older than the oldest baby boomer. I thought if I wrote just a book telling what's going to happen, it would be okay. Then I met this guy who showed me those curves, the normal American aging, and then squaring the curve with exercise. And I thought that was the most exciting thing I'd ever heard. Once I found that, then I went looking for a partner to do it with. And luckily, I found this absolute genius, Harry Lodge, who's also turned in one of my very closest friends, which is rare in that business, let me tell you. Anyhow, and I was off and running.
tell me more about, you know, so people that, you know, I recommend this book quite a bit to my patients, but there are some baby boomer, especially in the women's age before, like say people after Title IX, that really weren't much in the way of exercisers. So what would be a pearl to, you know, somebody comes into my office, they're 65, 70 years old, they haven't really exercised much in their life, they're 20 pounds overweight, you know, what do I tell them?
Tell them you can change their life. Tell them you can change their life. It's going to sound strange. They're going to be hostile to it, but the change is so enormous, so agreeable. It's worth taking a hard new look at life. If they can do this, if they can bear it, they can take the embarrassment of going to the damn old gym and all that stuff, which they're going to dread the idea. But tell them, this is going to change your life. You're coming into a stage of your life where if you don't do this stuff, you will have terrible consequences. You're going to lose 10% of your muscle mass every single decade. You're going to lose 10% of your bone mass every decade. You're going to be going to rack and ruin. And all that is avoidable if you let me give you some ideas on how to work out, how to change your life. That's what I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And hand them the book. Tell them it's easier than it looks. The book will make them laugh. They'll be doing it before they quit laughing.
Yeah, especially if they listen to it. And so you've also started now, you have Younger Next Year, the exercise program.
Let me just talk about that. Exactly, I don't like a penny on it. I just love this little new book. The little paperback costs, I forget, 10 bucks something. And it's just terrific. I wrote it with a genius out here in Aspen. I'm out in Aspen now skiing. Just a wonderful guy named Fabricini. He's a natural healer and a physical therapist and so on. And he's very smart about posture, whole body movement. There's a new way to exercise. We've all been doing some half-baked exercises all our life, but we really, a lot of us don't know, even if we do it. A lot of people who spend a lot of time don't do it right. And if you do it wrong, you can make terrible mistakes, and it's worse than not doing it at all. Here's a dandy little book, also pretty funny, that'll show you the right way. It's, as I say, it's 10 bucks. And it's a life changer. Good idea. Give one to every one of your patients.
I think, you know, I often draw, you know, you have the planks in here, as you and I were talking about, and I called them, I didn't see what you, the bird dogs, and I'm always drawing my little stick figure, so it's going to help me a whole lot, you know, so I don't have to go
through.
It'll
save hours of your day.
I think it's good for people to find what makes them happy as far as their exercise. My mom's 82. She golfs 3 days a week, and she found Zumba. And since she found Zumba and
Zumba's
going down there
good.
And doing that, you know, her balance has improved, her exercise capacity has improved. And, you know, I mean, she was an avid golfer for years, and she would rather miss golf than have to miss Zumba, you know, because she gets
a
better
workout. I'm delighted to hear that. Good for her. Because the golf is a wonderful thing to do for company and for fun and connection, but it ain't much exercise. Zumba, that's different.
Yeah, she's, you know, it's pretty funny. She comes like, they really worked me out good today, you know, and she comes in, you know, in her a little outfit.
Get her a little new book. She'll love it because, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is how much of it, the strength has to come all the way up through your legs. I mean, if you're going to have a good golf swing, your legs have to be strong. Your core has to be able to transmit the power from your legs up to your hands and your arms. Whole body exercise is the secret of life.
Well, I like what you said about, you know, that you have to lift heavy on occasion and you have to actually, you know, make it hurt a little bit, because I think so many times we're afraid that people won't do something. So we dumb it down so bad that you have these people lifting these 1 pound weights and, you know, we're afraid to tell them not to eat, you know, we're afraid they'll run if we tell them, you know, throw away the junk food and you can't go to Outback or whatever. And, you know, so tell me about, you know, so you're not afraid to lift, push a little weight.
We certainly are not. We decided, Harry and I, at the beginning, this is going to be an honest book, and people didn't like it. Good luck to them. We told them, hey, look, golf is a great way to spend your time, but it's not exercise. Don't lie to yourself. Shopping, gardening, it's not exercise. You got to exercise. You got to do aerobic exercise 4 days a week. You got to lift weights 2 days a week, maybe three sometimes. And it means picking up the stuff that's heavy. It means working out so you get up a sweat. He's doing it 6 days a week. And there's no... Don't stop blinking at that. You just think you can do less and have, you know, a rotten life, but that's what you... We tell it like it is. It's a very blunt book, but somehow we seem to get away with it. A lot of people have changed their lives. We get letters all day long. It's just terrific.
Well, the guy that holds the record for the Iron Man, the oldest guy, I'm blocking on his name. He's about 80 years old, 80, 82. But he said in an interview was, like, you gotta breathe hard, you know, almost every day. You got to do something that really makes you work. And I think that's, you know, something we miss. For some reason, I guess it's who you look at. I like triathlon, and this past weekend I did a half iron distance triathlon, and one of my friends that did it with me was she was 65, and she had been a college swimmer, but I had to chase her. She beat me out of the water bad. I had to chase her down on the bike, and then after I caught her on the bike and I was on the run, I was worried she was going to chase me down, and. And when she quit, it was, I'll talk about, what are we going to do next and, what events and how to get faster. And it's not about like, well, I'm 60 years old and I got to take it easy because I could break. It's like, so how can you get stronger and how many push-ups do you think we should be doing? And, and I have another friend that's, he qualifies for Boston every year at 65. And it's not about just qualifying. It's about beating his time from last year. But then
let me stick my oar in a little bit at this point to say to your audience, that's wonderful stuff and great fun. But what we're mostly talking about is a level of health and fitness, and you can get that without becoming a master's athlete. I don't want to scare him off. I think that working out hard for everybody is important. But you don't have to turn into, if you were a rotten athlete as a kid, you're probably not going to be a master's athlete in your 70s. But doing this stuff makes all the difference anyhow. If you want to be into fitness and do this kind of stuff, you're going to have a lot more fun, but that's a different story. Forgive me, I interrupted you.
No, I think that's great. There's a happy medium. Certainly you can debate, going all out may not be in your best interest after a while, but certainly being afraid to start, is the other end of the spectrum, or being, the settling type of thing because I'm getting older, I shouldn't do this because I might hurt my joints.
Oh, I think that's a huge misunderstanding. That's I guess it's true for a handful of people, but by and large, exercise is good for virtually everybody. There may be a hand, talk to your doctor, but before you start a serious program, but it's good for virtually everyone. And I'm not saying don't go hard. I'm just wanting to tell people, if we talk about marathoners and triathletes, you'll think, well, Colin Ed, he's talking to a different audience. That's not true. We're talking to you guys, all of you.
That sounds good. So, you have a progression. You say, it's kind of start out slow and easy, and work your way up. So for the guys that hasn't done anything, so give them some hints. I'm going to go out tomorrow. I'm 75. I haven't done a thing, but mow the grass on a riding lawnmower for the last 2 years.
What I tell people, I default to aerobics rather than weight training because I think it's easier to get started. It's more fun. It's sort of seductive. You get addicted to it. I would go out and do aerobics 6 days a week. In general, over time, you'll want to mix in weight training with aerobics. But if you're just starting, you haven't done anything along there. First of all, I get this little exercise book, which I'm just crazy about. It'll tell you all the stuff I'm going to tell you. But I'd change my clothes. I'd go for a walk or a run or a bike, whatever, go on the elliptical machine. Do it, as long as you can that first day. For the first week or two, just doing it, getting the habit of it is the big thing. After that, then we can talk about the details. But do it, get a six-day-a-week habit. Cut back by doing less on a given day, but don't cut back by doing fewer days. That's my book.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's important to get used to getting up and getting it, or making time for it, because we all can make time for what we want to do.
One thing we tell them that was worked for a lot of people, we tell them it's like your job. One thing we're all pretty good at, we learn to get up in the morning and go to work. Well, think of this as your job. You may think of it as play if you do good for you, but it's not just play. It's your job now. It's that important. You ought to treat it that way. Set a time for it. Don't make a fresh decision every day. Just go every day, no matter what.
And are you doing a lot of motivational speaking now?
But I do a lot of speaking. Yeah, I do. I go all over the place. I was in Cancun, Mexico this weekend. I'm out here in Aspen today doing this webinar and whatnot. I love it. I've been such a believer. I'm ridiculous. Drive people crazy. But I believe it so much. I hear so many people come back and say, hey, man, thanks for those books. It changed my life. Think I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It is contagious. I have to say, I give the book to people, and people turn around and give the book to other people. Another copy. They keep theirs, it just really is. It's nothing. It's nothing magical. I think it's because you walk the walk, and you told it through your eyes. It's not like you were 800 pounds and then lost the weight, but you weren't in the greatest shape that you could have been, and. Turn it around, and now you're better than ever. After you started this at what age?
I started doing it hard in my early 60s. Early 60s. I've always been active, but nothing like this. But, you know, now I do this so I can come out here from ground zero, from sea level, and go skiing. I don't hurt. I'm not out of breath. Yada, yada, yada. I think that's a privilege. Oh, boy. And let me tell you, there are not so many people out here in their 80s who are doing this stuff.
There's not.
Not too many. There are some, but not too many. And there should be millions of them, and there's no reason not to do it.
I also like the general rule of gear.
Yeah, me too. You're old. Get new gear. Get good gear, man. You're still skiing in your 70s. Go buy some great skis. Buy a good bicycle. Quit buying supplements and vitamins and take that dough and buy a good bicycle.
I think that's the big giant message. Quit spending your money on all these supplements and go do it.
Supplements are junk. They just give you expensive urine. Take that dough. Buy a good bike.
There you
go. Join the gym. Whatever.
That's actually a great way to put it. You know, trade your cigarettes and your vitamins in, and you can buy a Pinarello, right?
Exactly right. Your life will be a lot better.
You know, and you can buy
a little, will do the job.
You can buy a little speed while you're getting your aerobic capacity up, right?
You bet.
Yeah, I think you're a bit. Well, you know, I certainly, and you do some getaway weekends, don't you?
Let me just mention that. It's fun. We put on some fancy total immersion retreats for 5 days at a whack out here in Aspen. And they're fancy, and you say you go to hotels. We're also just announcing. They're on our website. Our website is youngernextyear.com. Take a look. We're just starting a bunch of mini retreats where you go for 2 days, and you get hands-on instruction from somebody, from me, but also from some of these real athletes and nutrition people. It's a two-day thing. It's going to be in a bunch of different cities. We're going to be in Charleston, in Phoenix, in San Diego, and Minneapolis this spring. If you want to really hit it and immerse yourself in the new life, get the jump start. Not a bad idea. Go to youngnextyear.com. It's fun. A lot of stuff there.
Perfect. And does Dr. Lodge attend any of these events, or he's just...
He doesn't. He's a very busy, hands-on doc. He's running a 28-doctor practice, and he's a full professor at Columbia Medical School, so he can't do it. But he's the spirit of a lot of it, let me tell you.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, it's good to, you know, it's good to hear that he was so dedicated, and I like the approach that, you know, he sat down with you and, you know, here's the way it is.
We spent a lot of time together. And he is a co-author of this new exercise book. He did stop and put his hands in on that one, which is a blessing.
Perfect. Well, listen, I won't take up any more of your time. I know you just came off the slopes.
It's been a pleasure. I'll go get in the hot tub now.
Yeah, go get in the hot tub.
My hot tub.
Yeah, and you probably should do some push-ups, too, while you're at it, after you're done, just to loosen up a little bit. And I'll look forward to being younger next year and throwing some of these exercise book at my patients. How about that?
There you go. Good luck. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So I hope you enjoy the interview with Mr. Crowley. Again, a couple pearls, you know, that he said, basically, change your life with exercise. And I have to, you know, reiterate, anybody that's listened probably heard it before, but, you know, my mother at 82, 81, she was always, she'd been a golfer for several years, but she decided, my dad passed away, and she went to Zumba and took it up. And she's been doing Zumba twice a week at 82. And she has a hard workout. She sweats, you know, she gets her heart rate up, she huffs and puffs, and her balance has improved, her exercise capacities has improved. You know, we went on vacation, she walks through the airport like she's 60 years old, you know, hustling to get to flights, and she has lots of energy. She has a Vivio Fit that she counts her steps, and she gets, you know, her 10,000 steps in most days. You know, so I think it's pretty impressive, and she feels better because of it. Her weight is down, you know, like it was when she was probably in her 20s or 30s. So she, you know, she's much more fit than she was at 70. And, you know, so I attribute that to, you know, again, her plant-based nutrition, but the exercise program has really, really helped her. You know, and you look around, and people that do exercise on a regular basis, I have another patient that's in his 90s, and he's done push-ups all of his life. And the guy comes into my office, and he still looks like he could, you know, take somebody on. He's got a little bit of a hop to his step, and he goes dancing, and, you know, he loves life. So I think it's really important to find something that you like that gets your heart rate up on a regular basis, that you exercise, whether it's, you know, Zumba or working out at the gym with friends or an aerobics class or going for walks with your friends or doing a triathlon. You know, the age groups go up. There's people in their 80s still doing triathlon, so you're never too late to start. You know, I have another patient that started triathlon in her 60s. So, you know, I think that if you look at the guy sitting across from the table and you compare yourself to somebody that's overweight and, you know, kind of weak and walks, don't do that. You know, compare yourself to the fit guy, and you can always, you know, you can always get more muscle mass. You can always be a little bit more fit, more lean, and have more energy, no matter what your age. So if you add exercise to a whole food plant-based diet, you know, it's a win-win situation. And don't forget that, you know, exercise 6 days a week. There's 3 days of stuff. You know, a lot of the recommendations that come on from the American Heart Association and the American College of Family Medicine and so forth, they do what they think people might be able to pull off, and they sell people very, very short. You know, this 20 minutes, 3 days a week, you know, that's kind of hogwash. You know, nobody's ever going to be in shape doing that. And, you know, look at the physicians recommending that. They're typically not very much in shape themselves. So do something 6 days a week that you get your heart rate up, and walk as much as you can. You know, Dr. Greger on nutritionfacts.org has a walking treadmill, and he walks all during the day. And, you know, there's been studies shown that, you know, just a few minutes at the gym or a half hour at the gym a couple days a week is not going to do it. You have to, you know, you have to keep moving all through the day. So, you know, rest when you need to, but keep moving as much as you possibly can. And whole body exercise is the secret. You know, Navy SEALs, you know, they do push-ups and pull-ups and body weight exercises and sit-ups. So, you know, get down on the ground and get back up if you're in your 60s, 70s. You know, make sure you can get off the floor. You know, don't be one of those people that, you know, have to, you know, help me, I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, so do the body weight squats and pull-ups and push-ups, and it'll go a long way to helping yourself. And you won't have to worry about losing the bone mass and the muscle mass. You don't have to worry about taking the IV medications to try to build bone or the oral medication that rots your esophagus. You can do this all on your own through your lifestyle. You know, sometimes we listen to what we want to hear and people tell us what we want to hear, but, you know, you got to work, just like you've told your kids all along. You know, to achieve something, you have to work at it, and you have to continue to work at, stimulate your mind and your brain to, you know, stay ahead of the game. And you have to cook for yourself to make sure you're getting the proper nutrients. You wouldn't go to the local service station that had water in the gas to get gas in your car. So, you know, why cheat yourself? So, you know, continue to strive to eat a whole food plant-based diet, and don't add any oil, and avoid chemicals that you don't know the name of. I think it cut out early on, but the date of the conference is January 23rd, so that's actually next Saturday, and we're going to cut off the ticket sales next Tuesday night at midnight, just because we have to have a headcount for the chefs. So get your tickets at eventbrite.com for that nutrition conference with Dr. Esselstyn, his wife Ann, Dustin Rudolph, Evelise Capo, and myself. You won't regret it. And if you need to ask me a question, jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. Check out the books Younger Next Year by Chris Crowley. His website is Younger Next Year. He also has, you know, retreats that you can go on and different things on his website. So find out where he's speaking and check it out. And, you know, I liked his audiobook. You know, if you enjoyed his voice, he's very humorous when he reads his audiobook. So check it out. So until next time, I'll be talking about the plant-based nutrition conference, I guess. If we don't have one before, maybe I'll play some clips from the talk. And but I hope you join me. And if you don't join me this year, I hope you join me next year. So keep eating your plants, exercise 6 days a week, and get some sunshine and enjoy life.